Welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. The Cyrus Alderwood. Your mom is so stupid. She was watching the Weather Channel and said it was chilly outside, so she grabbed a bowl. Your mom is so fat. She was standing in the road and I swerved to miss her and ran out of gas. When I looked at her, she went on my spot. Hey, alright, enough of your mama jokes. Hey, thanks to Blues Hammer for the music as always. A couple people I want to thank as we kick off. This is a short show on the fly. I got like 15 minutes to spare. So I thought, why not blow some smoke up your ass? You know, anybody wants to listen. You might hear the TV in the background. If you do, it's preseason baseball. It's that time of year. Opening day is like Christmas. I love it. Yeah, first of all, thanks to got a kick-ass logo here for the show that shows up on the podcast. Thanks to Emily at I've Got You Covered or Have You Covered.net. Anybody looking for logos, book covers, kind of cool stuff like that, check her out. I want to thank Elizabeth Cooper for having me back on last night. Her and I have a show online on YouTube and on Facebook called Murders and Mysteries. And we tend to do that maybe every other Monday, unless something comes up. Had a really great one last night talking about the Circleville letters. If you haven't heard of it, go online on YouTube and just look up Elizabeth Cooper or Caffeinated Cooper Show. You'll find it there. I shared it on my Facebook too. So hopefully people are enjoying that freaking show. And yeah, man, I should have watched the news today. The cancel culture commies have started on Dr. Seuss. Which this is just complete BS, man. Just, God. People that have to find some shit to get offended by, just, listen, at some point society is going to run out of patience with your dumb commie asses. And people are going to get punched. I'm just saying. This stuff is getting old. Leave Dr. Seuss alone. Stop canceling everything out that you try to find something offensive with. Jesus Christ. Ah, man. When you think certain people couldn't get any dumber, they get dumber. And that poor girl in The Mandalorian that just got lost her job because of some tweets that weren't even really that controversial. I mean, if you're looking to make something controversial out of it, so be it. Good on Bill Burr, the comedian, for standing up for her. Somebody has to. Of course, she stands up for herself. She was a good actress, and she kicks the hell out of people in MMA. What more do you want? She played a great character. Mandalorian's a great show. Yeah. I think Coca-Cola has been more divisive than that lady. Or Dr. Seuss. Or half the people have been canceled combined. But nobody bitches on TV about that. Anyway, that's beside the point. Hey, a friend of mine actually shared this creepy video with me today. Heidi, you guys remember her from being on here before, Heidi Gadd. And about this, it was on TikTok, this baby getting pulled under its bed. Now, that is some creepy stuff. And she also shared this website with me that for some reason I can't get freaking enough of, Ancient Origins. So I started looking up Mysteries of the Unexplained. I'm going to read a little bit of this to you. Because last time I think I had a show, I read a little bit from a vampire story of mine. Well, this is a vampire story, and if you're going to find vampires, where the hell else are you going to find them? New Orleans, right? This is the eccentric Jacques Saint-Germain, and this is from ancientorigins.net. So I'm just going to read from this. Go check it out. It's a great website. Man, they've got everything on there. Actually, before I read this, I actually had these, were people archaeologists that had archaeologists had uncovered a whistle that Mayans were using, I guess, in human sacrifice. You blow this little whistle, and it looks like a skull of some sort. And the sound it makes sounds like people like crying and wailing and just screaming. Where can I find a freaking whistle like that? That would keep the neighbors away. And speaking of the neighbors, all right, I live in a neighborhood where it's mostly older people, and I'm... Yeah, I get wary about fads that catch on. I'm glad a lot of old people don't catch on to a lot of fads. But I know every one of you that use Facebook have seen this stupid thing going around with some sort of, I don't know what the hell people are thinking, they're going to get vitamin D, massive amounts of it, by laying in the sun naked, holding your legs up so the sun's shining right on your ass. That's gross for starters. But if that fad ever catches on, I live in a neighborhood of old people, and that's not going to be good. The last thing I want to do is wake up on a sunny August morning, go outside, stretch, see old Don and Shirley next door outside with their dog laying in the sun, spread eagle with their asses in the air. No. Some things you can't unsee. Like that little girl's head spinning around in The Exorcist. Can't unsee that. All right, back to the eccentric Jacques Saint-Germain. He is said to have taken residence at the home located at 1039 Royal Street. Saint-Germain was apparently a cavalier and quite the ladies' man, frequently seen with beautiful woman on his arm while strolling through the French Quarter or clubbing in elegant locales late into the night. He delighted in throwing elaborate dinner parties for the city's socialites. His parties were highly anticipated due to their lavish cuisine, fine wine, entertainment. Most relished, however, was his own conversation. Saint-Germain fascinated his guests with stories of France, Italy, Africa, and Egypt. This sounds like part of Dorian Gray. Visitors were delighted and amused by his eloquent grasp of the English language. They were a bit confused, however, when he spoke of events hundreds of years in the past in such a precise detail as though he himself had participated. Many guests placed little value in the truths of his tales, simply embracing them for the entertainment value during their visits to his home. Not long after his arrival to New Orleans, Saint-Germain claimed that he was a direct descendant of the Comte de Saint-Germain, a close friend and servant to King Louis the whatever, XV, in the 18th century. His claim aroused skepticism, but his resemblance to the Comte was uncanny. I'm probably mispronouncing that, C-O-M-T-E. Eagle-eyed guests noted that portraits never depicted the Comte as older than 40, the same age as Jacques Saint-Germain had appeared since he had arrived in New Orleans. Rumors started to spread in jest that Jacques Saint-Germain may in fact be the very celebrated Comte Saint-Germain himself, however rendered immortal and ageless. Jacques seemed to enjoy the mystery that he had created around his persona, and neither confirmed nor denied it. And on this page, you can actually see the paintings and stuff. Although Saint-Germain catered parties were highly celebrated, the host was said to have had relished in his guest's satisfaction of the offered feast without partaking himself, often standing apart from the table drinking from a lavish chalice, presumably filled with wine. During dinner, he offered fantastical recollections of his adventures for guests' enjoyment. The very strange habit of not partaking in meals at his own soirees, coupled with his remarkable resemblance to the Comte Saint-Germain, had some in the city suggesting in good fun that perhaps the mysterious man was in fact a vampire. These rumors took a sinister turn several months after Saint-Germain's arrival to New Orleans, when the police were called to his home to investigate the circumstances leading to a woman who had seemingly fallen from his gallery, a full story above. His guest, a woman who is rumored to have been a prostitute, had in fact leapt from his balcony rather than fallen, as bystanders had originally surmised. While she survived the fall, she was terrified. People on the street surrounded her and tended to her needs while help was rounded. Hysterical, the woman ranted that she had jumped to escape Saint-Germain, who had bitten her neck. She screamed and sobbed out her story, claiming she was only able to escape when her assailant was briefly distracted by a rather loud knocking on his door. The woman was taken to the hospital as soon as possible, and the police, suspecting that she had become delusional, told the very well-known, affluent, and respected Saint-Germain not to bother coming in for questioning at this late hour, but rather to please visit the police station in the morning to go over the accounts of the evening. The police were confident that there was a reasonable explanation for what had transpired. The next morning, Saint-Germain never appeared at the police station. In fact, to everyone's chagrin, he had completely vanished overnight, leaving the majority of his belongings behind. Legend suggests that upon breaking into his house, the police were cautious and in great anticipation of what they might encounter. On the second floor of the house, they discovered a series of open but corked wine bottles. Upon closer investigation, they discovered the large collection of bottles were filled with a terrifying mixture of wine along with large quantities of human blood. Saint Germain was never seen again. You got to read the rest of this because someone else looking just like him was spotted in 1970 in New Orleans. And anyway, great, great story, great website. I am fascinated with everything on this page, actually. I could spend hours reading through all this, and I probably will. However, I'm not going to do it today because it's Tuesday, March 2nd. 2021, the year of the WTF. Yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. Just another quick hit here. I'll be back with a longer show, obviously, here soon. I just have a lot going on today. Had a few minutes to spare and thought, what the hell? Let's rant. Can't believe they're canceling Dr. Seuss. Commie bastards. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. I'll see you on down the road.